My dearly beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The sermon today is about bearing fruit that befits repentance. To talk about repentance is to talk about a way of thinking. Now you must pay attention this morning, and we must all pray for God to be merciful to us, because there are two ways of thinking that collide with each other. I'm going to try in a simple manner to describe them, and what happens in this sermon is what John called us to do. Repent and bear the fruits that befit repentance. For later you will see that the call to repentance is a call from God. We can make a theatrical repentance. That's the one we make. That doesn't smell good to God. He makes one that is a real repentance. He does that with his work, with his call. So as this sermon is about bearing fruit that befits repentance, about two ways of thinking that collide, one must go, the other is to be created. The point of the sermon is that we repent and live fruitful lives. The way one thinks in this matter, the two ways of thinking, the way one thinks is related to the believing. The thinking and the working are like products of what the faith is inside. It's like a tree and a taproot. It's like an umbilical cord from mother to child. It is like a freight car hooked onto an engine. The car goes where the engine goes. Now there is a way of believing. It is called in the Bible the flesh. It has a way of thinking because it believes certain things. The way it thinks is that it must save itself and its life. That teaches us how to think in a family. Each one has to save his life. The others are always a threat. It teaches us how to think in the congregation. You have to save your life, get your position. It teaches us how to think in the city, how to think at work. It has a whole way of thinking. And what you save your life for is for yourself. For the enemy seems to be whoever is in charge. Now, if you talk about God, or some people talk about luck, if you talk about God, then God is the enemy. That's the way you think. That God doesn't like you. He doesn't care about you. Just like the disciples in the ship. They were afraid they were going to drown. And they said to Jesus, can you imagine? Do you not care that we perish? I mean, this man who had come from God in great humility and lowliness, they first accused him of not caring. That's the way the flesh works. And it flees from the wrath of God. Doesn't want anything to do with God. Not his wrath. And that's why it makes all sorts of superstitions and all sorts of luck charms and has all sorts of sayings. Every cloud has a silver lining. Don't worry, time will heal everything. We have all kinds of ways of talking about this thinking of the flesh. You brood of vipers, you're a bunch of snakes, said John. You might throw an egg at me if I called you that, but he didn't. Well, he lost his head eventually. He became 8 inches shorter with a sword. You snakes, slithering around in the ground with your poison right under your lip. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So that the flesh wants to flee from God. We flee from his wrath, we flee from his truth, we flee from his good because we don't trust him. The flesh trusts itself. There is a deep taproot to this way of thinking. And it is a captivity called sin. Sin is the captor of the flesh. And therefore, the flesh is busy. In Scripture's way of talking, we produce a lot of works with our hands. Food, hold on to it. Money, keep it. invest it, make it power, law, all kinds of works of our hands, all these little replicas of the idol in the heart. Sin is an enslaved captivity. We've got the idea, it's sort of like a housemaid. Whenever we want to say, go, it goes. And when we say, come, it comes. No, that's part of the work of the mind of the flesh. It does not know God. It does not know about its own sin. It keeps thinking, sin is what harms me. And you did it. It's your fault. It keeps thinking, sin is what interrupts my life. Paul, John told the people, well, if you have two coats, give one away. Greed, hold on to it. He said, if you have extra food, share it. If you're in business, a tax collector, do your work, take what is appropriate. If you are a law enforcement or some kind of official, then do what is just and be content with your wages. This is a captivity. In our time, it's a little bit different. We're just bored. God's law, you snicker about that. The judgment on sin, well, we'll take our chances. There is a kind of dullness. One of the things that makes our time so foolish is we have no fear of God before our eyes. And that's what the Holy Spirit calls a fool. We don't tremble. We got it all pretty well lined up. If you have bad luck, that's the way the cookie crumbles, that's the way the grapefruit squirts. We have a speech that we make out of this mind of the flesh. It's a way of thinking. And we deny the claims on us. Now the depth of this faith that feeds the flesh is most profound when it goes religious. This is one of the reasons there are so many successful churches in America. They have found a way to smear religion over that mind of the flesh. How to be successful, how you can make yourself happy, how you can get what you want, how you can even tie God down to your own greed. We do not begin to say within yourself, we have Abraham for our father. They had the best of all worlds, a better race, like some of the white saints, better than black or Hispanic or Mom. We've got a better race and a better religion because they had Abraham. They had the word of the Lord. They had the sacrifice. They had the prophets. They had the promises. And they took all of these things and twisted them against God's intention. Religion that feeds this mind of the flesh is the most profound twister of all. And so John says, I tell you what God is doing. God has his axe out, and he is cutting that tap loose. He is going to cut it off. He's got his scissor out. He's going to cut that umbilical cord. He has his own engine at work. And that's a different kind of faith. So you must repent. That is to say, you have to knock out one way of thinking and learn to think in a different way that is fed by a different faith. And that's what I'm going to be talking about now. The taproot faith is like an engine that drives us. If it is the taproot that goes to itself, then it drives us to run away from the wrath of God. Well, our legs are too short to run that fast, and our arms are too short to box with him. He'll catch us. And he has. If you don't believe it, look at the cemetery. Or see the age in your own body, if you don't believe it. The axe. What is this axe that he puts to the root of the tree? Is it our religious intention? No, that axe is too dull and too weak, and it's got a rubber handle. Every time we hit the root, the axe flies somewhere else. The axe is the cross of this man, Jesus. For by it, God is going to do a work that will kill the sin, cut the root between the flesh and that mind that thinks about saving itself. That is a terrible tree that axe wields. It was a dead tree, not a living one. a tree of torture and of curse. Damned is the man who hangs on the tree. And our dear Lord Christ hung there, not because of what he did, but because of what we are. That's how God pours out the wrath. And those who are called to repent are called not to flee from, but to flee to. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. There is a judgment that God makes, a cut. He takes a scissor and he snips it off. And that wrath on that dead tree of the cross is the wrath that will cut down everyone who does not bear fruit fit for repentance. For repentance is the way of thinking that is fed by faith in his gracious work for us. For in the body of Jesus, in that body, which, beloved, in a few moments, he himself will feed us. In that body he has borne the death and the wrath. He didn't run from it. In love he went to it. He didn't niggle and quarrel. He bowed his holy neck and laid that burden on himself and let the Father lay it on him. He is the one who on that bitter tree, with bitter agony, was planted in the hill. There is where there is the death to death. The whole mode of thinking that comes out of this faith is a new way of thinking. Repent. Repent. You cannot kill off the sin enough by religious fervor or by indifference. You can't kill it, because the one who is doing the wielding is the one who is the sinner. But this man can, and by his resurrection from the dead, he has made a new creature. That's a fruitful creature. Bear fruit that befit repentance. The old self, that flesh, is to be killed all day long. And its dead works are to be crucified. Whether they are religious or irreligious, they are to be crucified. He saves us not only from our sins, but he saves us from our own righteousness. And he tells us first, you say, no, I do not belong to sin. No. No, I do not belong to myself. No. I do not belong to death. No, I do not work for the sake of saving my own life. No. That is the first word of repentance. It is a word of no. But the word of repentance has a second word. It is yes. Amen. You would have loved a Tuesday afternoon when I was reviewing the lesson with the children in the catechetical school. I looked at Hector. We had been warning them about Zechariah. Zechariah heard the word of the Lord. He said, well, how am I going to know this? And the angel said, well, I'm Gabriel, sent from God to tell you. That's how you know it. And because you don't believe it, you won't be able to talk until the child is born. And I warned the children, watch out. You don't listen to God's word and don't believe it. He may shut your mouth, but you can't say anything. And we would all appreciate that sometimes during class. And then Mary. Mary listened. She said, be it done to me according to your word. And so I looked at the children. I said, Hector, what do you do when God says, I love you? Hector leaned back and said, amen. And I said to Robbie, what do you do, Robbie, when God says, I forgive you your sins for the sake of Jesus? And what did you say? Amen. I thought they'd caught it. Yes, the amen. Yes, in the heart to the sacrifice of Christ. Your sin, the more you know it, the stronger and the bigger it gets. That is why you are by repentance driven always to this Christ and only to him. For the grace in Christ is enough. It's adequate. The cup of salvation runs over. There's more there than you need. And it is there that God turns away his wrath and comforts you and exalts in you and delights in you. Repentance. This is the work that grows where that word of Christ binds us to Christ. That's what we mean by faith. Faith is not having an opinion strongly held, even a right opinion strongly held. The devil has some right opinions strongly held, but he does not have faith. Faith is that wedding band that marries us to Christ. It is that linkage that binds us to him and him to us. So you are planted. You are planted like a tree, planted in the house of God by the living waters. A tree planted by the living waters bears its fruit and does not have its leaves wither. You are planted in that house of God, that body of Christ. You are planted in the courts of the Lord, where the King comes to live. You are planted there, and you shall flourish. Even in old age, you shall be green and fruitful. Or as Jesus said, you are grafted into the vine. You are held by the vine, and the juice from the vine is what feeds the life and brings forth the fruit. You are cleansed by that word, and you are planted. For when you were baptized, you were planted into the death of Christ. There he put the axe to us. We didn't. He did. He put the axe to us that crucified us with Christ and buried us with Christ. And there's the gracious word that raised us up in the resurrection with Christ. Planted. This faith, then, learns to think and speak in a different way. Repent. This faith is not created by human will. Let's think our way into this faith. This faith is what produces a new thinking. This faith is made not by the effort of man or by the blood of man, if you're German or if you're white or if you're black or Hispanic. It's not made by race if you're Jewish. It is made by the Spirit of God, where God, says John, if it's necessary, will raise up rocks for children of Abraham. He'll have children of Abraham. But he is the one who is fathered. It's not Abraham who fathers us. It is the Godfather who through his Son has made us his children. So this faith is hidden with Christ in God. It is hidden in his word. You can't see this faith by looking at it. You can't see it. You can't feel this faith by feeling after it. If you want to see this faith, then you have to learn to look at that word. The flesh wants you to look at yourself. How am I doing? So that the flesh can say, you're not doing bad. Or the flesh can say, well, you're doing pretty bad. That's pretty rotten. But faith looks at that word. Faith listens to that word. When you eat and drink the sacrament, you are not to have your eyes on yourself, wondering how you're doing. You're to have your ears and your eyes on him. Listen to his word. Watch as the pastor gives you his body and gives you his blood. That's where you pay attention. Faith is fed there. It's a deep tap root. And that faith is what feeds and produces the life that bears fruit, fit for repentance. We do not now become like trees and we say to the tree, well, you're a pear tree. Well, you better start producing some good pears. And then we hear the tree grunting and what a good pear. That's not how fruit grows on a tree. It is fed, nurtured, cultivated, pruned, trimmed, and by the energy from the taproot into the food, it bears the fruit. So, faith that brings forth fruit fit for repentance grows, is nurtured by, and cultivated by that word of God. It feeds on that word. The sacrifice of the forgiveness of sins, the preaching, the holy absolution. And some of you who still say, well, I don't need that, are thinking about absolution as a law. Do I have to do that? No, I'm a Lutheran. Only Roman Catholics do that. I'm a Lutheran. Well, Roman Catholics and psychiatrists now. It is not a law. That's the flesh's way of thinking. If I do that, do I get brownie points? You will rather by this faith, draw water out of the wells of salvation. You will drink of the Spirit in your baptism, and you will do this with joy. Faith is fruitful in the knowledge of God, for faith now knows God in the faith of Jesus Christ, that one whom we await, who was born for us. Good news for you. Be glad, because it is news of joy. Faith rejoices even in the pruning, when God takes our lives, drives them into unhappiness, sorrow, pain, suffering. We can't understand. And everybody's trying to figure out, why does God let good things, bad things happen to good people? Faith looks at Jesus Christ and sees the cultivation of the life that is fruitful, fruitful in patience, in prayer, in waiting on God. Faith rejoices in that pruning, for it says God has done all righteousness well, and he is doing all things rightly and well for me. Thus, this mind that grows out of this faith gives glory to God. The mind of the flesh must boast in itself. Well, I wasn't perfect, but I had a pretty good life. You should really be quite sure, because you did well. It's always bragging about itself. Faith boasts in the grace. Morning, I talked to you about bearing fruit that befits repentance. I described two ways of thinking. One called the flesh, save yourself. The other one, that repentance, where the trust grows in that crucified and risen one as he comes in his work. Where that life grows, there's the fruitfulness. If you want good fruit, then plant, cultivate, and feed a good tree. That's what he's done for you. He has planted you as trees of righteousness in Christ. Your whole life is nothing but repentance, learning to think as you trust that Christ. The works of the flesh are busy works, but it is the fruit that grows where faith is fed on the Word of God. And where does it grow? Well, you've got a coat, be generous. You've got two, be generous. Be a generous human being. If you have a job, do your job, do your vocation justly. If you have authority, don't use violence. Do what is right. Give to each his due. And be content with what is given to you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting.